I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I'm looking at the. I fell into the trap. Scott, you never do this, right? You fall into a.
I fall into stuff all the time.
You fall into the trap of clicking on a story that looks like a story, but it's actually not. It's just an ad.
It makes you click through those. I hate those. And you know what I like, though? I get out of them. And it makes me feel like I have power
like,
in my life.
You're like, I got out of this.
You got me
thing.
Sucked in, but I'm not going to stay. I'm out. See ya. Gone.
I've listened to you. We do our show prepping, you know, of course, over the. Over the ether here, and what's funny is I will hear you go, you'll say something like 14 things that that people need in their household that they can clean with, and I'll be like, Scott, don't click on that. And I'm like, this is, but I saw a list, and it was just an actual article, and then I thought to myself, I don't know this about Scott. What is your stance on scary movies? Scary ghost movies or horror flicks? Are you one that
so I like thrillers, but I like thriller movies, right? But I do not.
Well, what counts
I
as do, a thriller? Like like Taken with Liam Neeson?
Right,
that's a thriller.
A movie like that.
Okay.
You know, or even a movie like, I mean, the Indiana Jones. They're kind of thrillers.
Oh, I love Indiana Jones, yes.
Right, but I do not. I hate the slasher, scary Halloween
horror
movies.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like
horror,
horror
movies.
Stuff either.
I don't really care for the supernatural thing. I just don't. I'm not.
Oh, the ghost movie. So like Sixth Sense doesn't move you.
Oh, that one's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, I look at that more as a.
Are you from that old school ilk of like, you know, because like the like pioneer moms and grandmas, you know, would be like, if you watch those movies, you're inviting those spirits into your house.
Pioneer moms and grandmas. Who were I was like, is that a movie?
No, pioneer moms and grandmas would be the scariest be the scariest plot on the planet.
Well, no, I feel that way. It brings an evil presence to me that I do not like. Yeah, makes me feel funny.
My mom
just don't like the way I feel when I watch it.
When I was growing up, it was like you played the Ouija board. I mean, you basically were having an exorcism at your house.
See, I'm not even liking this conversation. It's just really making me uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the important part of the show because they just had a list of the most important scary movies, and I thought, I bet Scott doesn't even watch scary movies. He's such a baby. And I was right.
The unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the unrivaled NFL Roundup.
Okay. So here we go with the NFL Roundup tonight. It's the spookiest. No, we're not into that. We'll do that next week, okay?
We got some time. I do like Halloween, by the way.
Oh, Halloween you're a fan of?
Massive fan of Halloween. Now, not scary movies.
Are you the guy who has the big candy bars at the house?
Is that your kind of thing? I love when people come over. I love to give out the candy.
Love it.
Yep, I love the whole thing. I'm a big fan of Halloween.
We came from a neighborhood where there wasn't a lot of trick-or-treating going on, but now we got a lot of kids in the neighborhood, in the new neighborhood.
Yeah, they're going to wear
it. I'm very excited. And we're probably going to get egged because my neighbors are, like, full-on. Like, they're the type that'll give you the king-size candy bar, and we're still cheapskates, so watch out. So first up on the NFL roundup, Scott, the Raiders' starting offensive line has been sent home due to contact tracing and all sorts of other things that, you know, now we got to be, you got to be careful because they had contact with Trent Brown. Trent Brown is on the COVID-19 list, and they might have this huge problem because groups, position groups, if they have enough guys. So basically, like, they sent their five starting linemen home because they were around Trent Brown. And Gruden says, okay, I think we'll be okay because the other offensive linemen have tested negative, you know, until they get tested again, probably. But the reality is that this Bucs and Raiders game is huge this weekend. You don't want to be – would you rather, Scott, postpone that thing and have your full starting offensive line?
Well, yeah, we want to postpone this until, you know, Tuesday. I mean, so I'm okay
with this.
You
and I want the middle of the week games.
I'm okay with this stuff happening. As long as they're rescheduled sometime in the middle of the week, it's fine. But the other side of this, these teams, and this may sound bad, but it's probably true, is you really almost have to, like, you have to filter out your team and how they mix with one another during the week. And you have to mix them with the haves and the have-nots. So the haves are your starters and all the guys that, you know, are critical to playing in the game. And then the have-nots are maybe the backups and the practice squad players. And you really need to do that throughout your organization, whether it's how they sit in meetings, how they function when they're on the field against one another. You've got to figure out a way where, if you really want to minimize this, because it would be impossible if you don't. I mean, you're going to run into these situations. And I'm sure this is going to continue throughout the rest of the season, whether it's the Raiders or another team. And these teams they have to figure out. Maybe they do anyways. Maybe they limit because I know a traditional, like a position group meeting room, it's close quarters. And these guys are joking around with each other all the time. They hang out and they, you know, when they have lunch together, a lot of offensive linemen are close anyway. So they probably go out somewhere socially. And you really have to minimize your contact. If I was a guy that was starting, I just minimized my exposure to as many people as I possibly could.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it and I go, I think you really would angle for, let's get this game postponed. You don't want to have two or three of your key guys missing on your offensive line. This is the best, you know, defense. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is no joke, and it seems like a weird thing that you would try to you know, game plan around.
And it's a big, yeah, and it's a big statement game for the Raiders because you have a big game in Kansas City, you win, you have a bye week, and you really want to answer and kind of validate your position as a contending team in the West and even the NFL. And so Tampa's a very good football team and getting better as the season goes on, and the Raiders want to be at their full strength, like you said, because this is a critical statement game for the Raiders. You know, you play every week and the games are important, but there are certain weeks that can really propel you, and they can be bigger weeks than others, and this is certainly one of those for the Raiders.
I just wonder if this is one of those things that, yeah, a little silver lining because the Silver and Black might be playing on Tuesday instead of this weekend, but that's a big one. Speaking of former Raiders, well, almost Raiders, I guess, in his case, Antonio Brown can return to football in a week from this weekend, Scott. Antonio Brown can be activated onto a roster. He's being looked at by a handful of teams. The only one that feels comfortable putting their name out there are the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm torn because I don't know if Russell Wilson is like this. This pure dude. He's just like the nicest guy on the planet. And I don't know if you want to totally mess everything up with a complete psychopath coming into the huddle. Or do you, Scott? You help me out with this.
Well, it's the NFL, and if the guy has talent and can play, everything else is irrelevant. So whether the guy's, as you say, a psychopath or whatever they are, that usually kind of
what
gets...
What do you mean? Don't act like Antonio Brown. He's like, well, I could take him or leave him. I don't know if he's crazy or not. We have seen him be crazy.
No, I'm not saying he's not crazy or not. Some guys tend to do better in certain circumstances, in certain organizations. And Antonio Brown being out as long as he has, maybe there's been a sense of, you know, growing up and he gets with a good quarterback and he gets with a team that has a chance to win, maybe there's a possibility that he kind of turns a corner because he is a talent, Alex.
Oh,
but
let me tell you what's
scary about Antonio Brown. He's been out all of this time, and he's going to come back and play football before Utah actually plays a football game. That's how bad this season's been.
I love that somehow it comes back around to the Utes not playing football yet. I did not expect that to go that direction. But you know what? It tells me where your head's at, and I like it. Scott, let me bring up the last one here before we get out. Le'Veon Bell, who was traded from the Jets or released by the Jets and landed with the world champion Chiefs, has said he's happy to take a reduced role. This is a guy that was the best running back, the best whole package running back in the league for a while, and now just a couple of years ago, and now he's, of course, where he's at now, taking limited snaps for the Chiefs. Is he really okay with taking that reduced role?
Right now, absolutely. I mean, when you're on a really good team, you're going to do whatever you can to help that team get back to a Super Bowl. Now, if he does take a reduced role and plays well, the team does well, expect him to get back to his true form, and that's what's in this for me, and I've got to be the most important guy in the room.
Scott, that actually was that last statement was pretty much true about you, too. All right, so I pretty much need to say I say the most important things. I'm the most important guy in the room. And that's why you want to join us next when we come back. Two-minute drill.
I'm not going to argue with you.
The two-minute drill on the way back when we return. What OBJ got as a slap on the wrist for handing out real money at the college football playoff title game last year at his alma mater, LSU. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.